Welcome back to Siren Radio with me, Jamie Rose. Today, joined by guitarist and indie band member from Rosellas, Ewan. How are you, mate? You all good?
Yes, I am good, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, thank you for coming on. Really do appreciate it. Talk to me. Rosellas, five-piece indie rock band from the home of music, pretty much Manchester. I mean, talk to me about that. How is it being from kind of there and having the influences of, you know, all of that? You know, all of that in Manchester.
It's brilliant. It's you won't want to be from anywhere else.
No, I mean, you're from
Hull. Grimsby. I'm not from Hull. My dad's from Hull.
Oh, okay. Oh, what was you raised in Manchester then?
Yeah.
Still get the accent. So yeah, talk to me. Rosellas, obviously Manchester. How does this all come about? Talk to me about how does the band all come into kind of fruition for you all?
So I'm a few years older than Drew, who's the front man. And I met him on a train back from a Blossoms gig. This is about 2018. We just got chatting. I was playing the guitar. He was obviously playing the guitar. And we, you know, sort of grew from there, became friends. And then the idea was formed to start a band. And the rest of the lads, Drew knew him from there in his year at school. So it all sort of came together. And then a few weeks later, we played our first gig at Night and Day in Manchester. And Blossoms were there, actually, so it came full circle.
What, they were in attendance, or they was playing, or
no, they were there in attendance just by chance. They just wandered in.
And I know that I have seen a few bits and pieces where they do just walk into like these random bars in Manchester and that, and just kind of. Cause I think that's where they all come from. I think they play a lot of homage to it, don't they?
Definitely.
So is it just a matter of you and Drew just kind of bumping into each other, and it just came from there, and then you being, you know, them being kind of a group already, and then you kind of adding to it, and then suddenly it all comes to.
I'm not sure. I think Drew always wanted to be in a band, I think, and that was what he was telling me when I met him through a mate of mine, knew one of his mates, and you know, he's like a friend of a friend kind of thing, and got chatting to him, and he said, "Oh, you know, I need a guitar player. I'm thinking of starting a band," and I was like, "Oh, I'll do it." You know, obviously, I've had a few pints and I agreed to it. And the next day, he rang me, and I was thinking, "Who's this?" You know, he said, "Are you still up for next week?" And I was thinking, "What have I agreed to?"
Oh God! I'm suddenly in a band. I only went out for a couple of pints, so suddenly I'm in a band.
exactly.
Absolutely. I mean, we mentioned that you're from kind of Manchester. I mean, Drew is probably, and you as well, to be fair, you and Drew, kind of everyone having that kind of influence, but like, is there a specific section of the kind of that, I mean, you mentioned Blossoms. Is Blossoms a big influence, or is it maybe, you know, an older, you know, maybe something like Oasis, is it a Stone Roses type thing? What is the kind of sound? Is it new Manchester, or is it kind of that old school Manchester?
I think it's both, isn't it? I think if you try and emulate old Manchester, that becomes new Manchester, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of comes
Blossoms are, to be fair, but not so much in the music, do you know what I mean? Because they're not from far from where we're from, and obviously seeing them growing up, they're from Stockport.
Growing up,
you know, I was about 14, 15 when their first album came out. So it was very like, you know, it sort of made you think it was possible kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You see what I mean? But the sound, I'd say it was, I mean, it's a boring answer, but Oasis, Stone Roses, Verve.
I mean, you can't help but not be kind of influenced by it, I suppose, if you're kind of, you know, if you're in that surrounded environment and you're embraced by, you know, the likes of XS Manchester that constantly kind of play, or Radio X, for example, when you're kind of, and the Stanleys and all that that you kind of play with, it's hard not to kind of, you know.
Well, that's the thing, and it's because of, you just get thrown in with it, and obviously in Manchester you can't really escape it, but it's a, you know, it's not a bad thing. It sounds like a moaning, it's a blessing, I think.
I think there's many people that will probably say it is kind of the home of British kind of rock music to a certain extent. I mean, you could say London as well, but definitely in the north.
Yeah, the northwest, it is. You know, that's just true. Yeah,
northwest probably is probably a better answer. The northwest between Liverpool and Manchester.
That's absolutely it.
I mean, talk to me about the writing process on pretty much most of the tracks. I always like asking this question. Is it a case of you bringing a guitar riff and Drew bring in some vocals and then all, and then the drummer kind of bring in their own stuff, or is it a case of you guys all kind of starting a clean slate and working on it together?
So me and Drew are the writers, so we'll nine times out of ten have finished it before we take it to the band. So I'll go to his with my guitar, or he'll come to mine with his guitar, and we'll just sit and write, you know, hours and hours and hours. And then the best, you know, we've got so many songs, and we just sort of pick the best ones and take them to the band and then demo them and then, you know, try them out live and things like that. But the writing comes from me and Drew, yeah.
Yeah. Is there a case of a lot of the time that it's kind of that you have an idea of what you have in mind when you're writing it, especially with the vocals? Obviously, you kind of have written it and you know what you want performed. But in terms of, you know, the drums, is it something that you're then given kind of freedom to do, or you got something already in the back of your mind on what that drum or bass to sound like?
So with what we started doing more and more is Ollie, the bass player, he's a fantastic bass player, and it wouldn't make any sense for me to write the bass part, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll take him the tune and say, do what you want, sort of thing. These are the chords. And the very same thing with Mark, who's the drummer. You know, we'll say, like, this is the beat of it, do what you want, sort of thing.
I know that there's sometimes the kind of, especially with people that are writing it, they have an idea in the back of my mind of everything that they want, but are you kind of leaving it into the hands of the other band members at the same time?
For their part, definitely, because as I said, I'm not a drummer, I'm not a bass player, so it wouldn't make any sense for me to tell them what to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So it just kind of gets left in their hands. And has there been occasions where you have been writing and you've been like, wow, even I wasn't kind of thinking that as a bass line? Is it a lot of the time that you're kind of shocking each other with what comes out from individual talent?
Definitely. Well, so, for example, Luis, our keyboard player, he's got such a great ear for, you know, melody and it adds little bits and things that I would never have thought of and Drew would never have thought of. You know, but that's when it's, you know, we're not like a dictatorship going, this is the song, this is what you're playing. You know, and like you've mentioned before about Drew, when Drew's singing my melodies and my vocals, you have to sort of let him tailor them to his voice up to a point. Like, there's only so much I can say.
Yeah.
No. It doesn't go like that. It goes like this. Do you know what I mean? Because he's the one who's singing it.
Yeah.
So it has to be believable. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be natural for him to sing, if that makes sense.
Yeah. To a certain extent, do you think it's a bit of a kind of Serge and Tom Megan from Kasabian type vibe, maybe, where the guitarist and the lead are kind of both taking an equal role? Would you probably say it is
that?
Yeah,
well, he's not the leader, but I'm joking.
Well, there's the front man. It's the kind of front man, but it isn't really, is it?
I think we're in a good position because we've got two songwriters, you know, and you think about, we used Blossoms before, they've only got one.
Yes.
And, you know, I've seen something today on Twitter saying Caption the Bottom when they're coming back. They're another one who've only got one songwriter, and it is the guy who's singing it.
What, is that actually come through today?
I don't know, I've just seen it on Twitter before.
I'm quite glad that you brought that news to me, to be fair. But yeah, go on.
Well, it might not be true, but that's what I've seen. And, you know, like, they have, the singer is the songwriter, so it becomes like a dictatorship, I suppose, and it becomes a one-man, you know, and they're running it. But because I'm sort of in the background, like, I don't sing, I'm not, like, when we're playing on the stage, I'm sort of off to the side, it adds another dynamic, I suppose, and it's two sets of songwriters rather than one person doing it.
Two different minds are better than one.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, when was the kind of band formed? How many years are we talking?
So our first gig was 2019.
Yeah, 2019, and you've since been backed by XS Manchester, your home, obviously, and John Kennedy of Exposure on Radio X. How big was that for you guys as a band to kind of get that kind of coverage and that exposure from people that are just, and stations that are just renowned for that type of thing? How was it to kind of find out?
Oh, it was cool. Well, so the Radio X one, we sort of knew it was coming, because we've done a few gigs with John Kennedy.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say he's a friend of the band, but we, you know, if we saw him, we'd say hello to him, sort of thing.
He knows you guys, type thing.
Yeah, he knows who we are. Yeah, let's leave it at that. Yeah,
which is quite a cool thing to kind of have. I mean, you guys have been going for 4 years, and you've got one of the most established kind of, you're one of the most established kind of presenters on the radio with exposure and all that. Yeah. So that's got to be kind of pretty cool to have that, I guess.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. I don't know him that well, but he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
But with XS Manchester, that was cool because I was at work and it came on the radio.
What, you wasn't warned?
No, well, we didn't get. Oh, I didn't get told, and it just came on.
Oh,
and you know, I was nudging everyone, going, "This is a tune."
This is me.
Going, who is this?
Yeah. That guitar is safe, isn't it? Oh,
yeah. That guitar, he's really handsome. The guitarist. Yeah. No, that was cool because we didn't get told. So.
Yeah, cool. You do a lot of gigs and a lot of your kind of, you know, a lot of you kind of do full-time jobs, as you just said. How is it kind of managing it all? Do you find it to be stressful, or do you just kind of, you know, even at work, you just kind of always thinking musically?
Yeah. I mean, it's knackering, but it's what
it's
what we have to do. You know, we're all so obsessed with it and driven with it, and, you know, hopefully we'll get to a point where we can all quit our jobs and do it full-time, and I don't think that's that far away, to be honest. But for now, you know, we're just going to...
Yeah.
Got to work hard, I suppose.
Is there a plan for you guys to kind of, is there, like you say, in the back of your mind, it's not that far away. Is there a plan that kind of puts into fruition for you guys to do it full time? Have you guys kind of sat down, or is it just a constant amount of kind of work, and just see what happens?
It's a bit of both, I think. We've got a loose plan, but it, you know, you can't plan that far ahead, especially in music, because you never know what you're going to get offered. You know, like, we're going on tour with Star Sailor in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
And that just came out of the blue, you know, so you can't really plan for...
When stuff like that comes about. But
yeah.
I mean, like, in terms of it being like, obviously you've released an album in May, I believe, was it?
That will kind of an EP, yeah.
EP. And it says album on Spotify, but yeah, EP.
EP
that you kind of. So I'm saying, is it a case of a plan of like, okay, another two or three EPs, then we'll assess, you know, where we are in terms of gigs, maybe, you know, support with someone else, maybe that Blossoms gig at Witherham Park that's been announced. I can't. Is it Witherham Park?
Wimmenshaw Park.
Wimmenshaw. Yeah, that's it. I couldn't say it. I want to go, but I can't say it. So like maybe something like that. Was that kind of something that would be on a radar for you guys?
That would be unreal. I mean, it's one of the, every gig that comes up, we're thinking, oh, it'd be nice to get on that. Do you know what I mean? But you know, as I said, you can't really plan for it. If it happens, it happens. There's nothing we can really do to put ourselves in the picture for it.
Apart from doing your thing.
Yeah, exactly. And just, you know, it's a bit sort of, you know, you're in the dark a bit. You just got to keep doing what you're doing and hope that people take notice of it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Just want to kind of pull you away a little bit from the band. You obviously are very highly spoken about Blossoms. Now, I'm going to ask you this, and I hope it isn't completely on the spot and you're just going to kind of not know the answer to this. I'm hoping not, and you don't have to have the answer to it if you don't have it on the top of your head. But, if I was to say to you, top three Manchester bands, and I'm going to make it slightly harder and say no Stone Roses and no Oasis, what would be your top three?
The Smiths, the first one.
Yep, okay.
There's a band, have you heard of a band called Pastel?
Yes, I've listened to a couple, yeah. I've listened to a little bit of them. I can't say that I'm a huge fan, but I have listened to them.
Okay, Pastel, so probably second I'd say Pastel. Yeah. And third, I'd probably say New Order.
Okay.
Counting that.
Yeah, see, this is what I mean, I forget about stuff like New Order and the Smiths and, you know, stuff like that even comes from it that's well, you know, kind of before. So where would you put Stone Roses and Oasis then if you were to go top five?
The Smiths are still top.
Okay.
And then Oasis probably second.
There you go. Yeah.
And then, yeah, then the other two just moved down.
Just kind of, yeah. Where do Blossoms fit in then? Or the Blossoms not kind of make it in for you guys yet?
I don't know. It changes, doesn't it? I'd maybe put them joint fourth with Pastel.
This is what I mean. It's quite a hard kind of thing. When you actually really do break it down, it is quite a hard thing to kind of
rank.
To rank, it is quite a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Just from you alone, what is probably your first record or first song that you was listening to quite kind of avidly and thinking, I really like the song. What's the song that kind of, in a way, I thought, oh yeah, I'm going to give this kind of whole guitar shtick a go.
Yeah, it's such a boring answer, but it was Live Forever by Oasis.
Yeah, but I think
it's the first song I learnt on guitar, yeah, and I remember hearing it and thinking, like, you know, you just hear it differently to all the other stuff you've heard before. Do you know what I mean? Like it was like a light going off. You know, like. That, I know it's such a boring answer, but it's that one.
Yeah, but I feel like everyone says it, but everyone kind of admires it. So I think it's just so huge that you can't ignore.
I mean, there's a reason why it's been voted, like, you know, best song of all time and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it is, to be fair, it absolutely is. Yeah, but just get back to the band as well. The EP, Somewhere in Between, I listened to it. Great, some absolutely great tracks. Come
it's
Alive.
Rubbish.
I love it. Oh, it's such a great EP. I love it. I think, yeah, it's great. Come Alive in particular is particular for me. I love Come Alive so much on the EP. Talk to me about making the EP and kind of making of it. How was it to kind of, how long was it, the longevity of it?
So it took ages, the EP. So there's a song on that called Thunderstorming. I think it's the last track on the EP.
Yeah.
And me and Drew wrote that way before we started the band. So that's been one of the oldest tunes we've got, and we just kept hold of it because we knew it was good and we knew it was, you know, worth sticking with. The rest of them, so we recorded it about 2 years ago now, and then I think it was during COVID we finished it, and then we were just waiting to put it out. And to be honest with you, I think we waited a bit too long, but we're all buzzing that it's out now. And it took bloody ages, that EP. Sorry,
it took a while to it took a while to do for you.
Yeah,
but was it? Do you feel like it was worth it? Obviously, you're completely joking
definitely.
When you say it's rubbish, because it definitely isn't. It's well,
no, I
absolutely, yeah, no, I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. It was such a. I'm not having anyone even thinking that it isn't, because it is a great EP as well.
I mean, the funny thing with the EP is that's where, so say 2 years ago, that's where we were up to 2 years ago. So now I think our sound's changed a bit, and the live set, you know, when we play live, it's changed. But then we put out this EP that was sort of a bit behind where we were up to, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does that make sense? So then the next songs we've got coming out will be more like what, you know, what we're like now, 2 years later, sort of thing.
Yeah, hence why I say that maybe it was released a little bit too late, because you've got a different sound now. Yeah, that completely makes sense.
It's not too different, but we feel like we've evolved beyond that.
Absolutely. I think every band does, especially when it's in its earliest years as well. You guys are just constantly evolving. But I do.
Definitely.
Yeah, I do just want to talk about one very small thing that came from the EP, right? And maybe, I mean, you're a Hull City fan. Are the rest of the lads Manchester United fans?
Yeah, apart from Ollie, who's a City fan.
Oh, but I mean, Ollie seems to have it good then, doesn't he, compared to the rest of them?
I wish I was a Manchester City fan.
Yeah, me and you both, mate, and I love town to bits. So how was it for the rest of the band then to kind of hear Come Alive being played at Old Trafford?
Oh, it was, you know, it was brilliant. Drew was there when it came on.
Yeah, even for you, I guess, as well, for it to be played at Old Trafford. But
it's all right.
Yeah,
I prefer it to be at the KC. But
if it was at the KC, yeah. You'd love it at the KC, but then if you're 3-0 down at half time, then
I would have left, so I would have heard it.
Regardless if your song was on or not.
Yeah. Well, again, like that one, we never got told. So, you know, it was a nice surprise for Drew, I'm sure it was. My girlfriend's dad's his season ticket holder at United.
Oh, wow.
And he was texting me going, "You'll never guess what," sort of thing. But yeah, it is cool. You know, it's a lot of, it's nice to sort of, a bit of recognition from you know, like a massive club like United are.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Well, they need a little bit of cheer, don't they, at half-time, I guess.
I don't think you could hear it over the booze.
Oh, let's hope the rest of the band out there. I bet as soon as you come into,
they probably agree with this.
Yeah, probably they will. Ten Hag's probably loving it as well. So was it? I'm starting to feel like Drew just kind of has things in the bank that he just doesn't tell you guys. Like the it being played in excess wasn't told, and like Old Trafford wasn't told. I'm starting to feel that.
It's
either he's forgetting or he's playing like the best practical joke on you ever. Just randomly be in random games and hear it.
We're actually signed. He's just not told any of us.
You're playing Glastonbury next year. He's just gonna come round to it next year. So I mean, you say about it, it is a while away, but I really do hope that you guys end up doing, like, you know, a Glastonbury set or, you know, or a Leeds festival or whatever it is, or
the big
festival ones. But what are the plans for the near future for you guys?
So we've got a new release coming out. It's a single and then two more B-sides on it. I mean, they're not really B-sides, but we've got that many tunes. We just put them out with it. So that'll be out within the next month, I would have thought. And we're going on tour with, we're doing a show with Stan Lees on the 25th of November at Manchester Academy 2. Then we're going on tour with Star Sailor the week after, playing in Glasgow, Newcastle, Wolves and Sheffield, I think is the one. And then beyond that, next spring, probably try and do a headline tour of our own, get another release out, and then see where we are in the summer, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. Is it just a case of constantly working then for you guys, really? There's not a definitive plan, but just to keep releasing music?
Just keep growing, I suppose. That's the aim, isn't it? Just to keep, you know, the more you gig, the more people know who you are, I suppose.
Always. Just so people do know what I've got coming up, what are the kind of socials that you guys are on before I let you go?
What are we on? Instagram, Twitter, TikTok.
I'll pull it up quickly. Yeah, I'll pull up the Instagram quickly. But what? So is it just a case of you guys being on pretty much everything?
Yeah, we are. Our drummer deals with all the social media, but he's bang into it. So
I think I accidentally messaged him instead of you the other day. Rosellas .band on Instagram is the Instagram handle. Is it the same on every other social media?
Twitter's at Rosellas Band, and that's me who does the Twitter. So you'll see me, if Hull City win, you'll see me tweeting about Hull City.
Yeah.
So not very often, then.
No, it's probably pretty much a derelict Twitter account then, I guess, for Hull postings. But thank you for coming on, Ewan. Really do appreciate it.
No worries, mate. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you for coming on. Really do appreciate it. And have a great rest of your day and best of luck with you and the band.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks,
Jerry.
Bye.